Inside Lacrosse Podcasts, the source of the sport.
Thanks for coming back to the Inside Lacrosse Podcast. I am Terry Foy, and this is one of the most special podcasts, most listened to podcasts of the year. We are talking about the NCAA Division I men's tournament selection, and we begin with the back-to-back committee chair. First time in nearly a decade that we've got a committee chair back for a second appearance, and it's Rutgers Associate AD Matt Colagiovanni, who just oversaw the selection of the 18-team field. We are back up to 18 teams with two play-in games for the first time in several years. Matt, thank you so much for joining us. How do you describe the way the process unfolded?
Thank you for having me. It was a good day. We spent a lot of time, obviously, going through everything and watched these last few championships, which obviously went all the way till almost 3 o'clock. So I think the process went well. The committee, we felt like we did a good bracket, and we're excited for next steps.
As always, we're going to start at the most contentious or worthy of examination spot, that being the first team or the last team in and the first team out. And this year, the consideration seemed to come down to Harvard versus Army. The Black Knights lost in the Patriot League semifinals on Friday night, and that really upended a lot of the bracket projections or prognostications that had seeded the number one or included the number one seed in the field. How do you describe the way that loss to Colgate changed the committee's view of Army?
I would say that we spent a lot of time on Army and Harvard. We spent pretty much the most on those two. And that obviously was a point. Obviously, if they advanced, I think it might have been a different conversation. We definitely, though, looked at what the body of work, full body of work that Army did, as well as Harvard. And when you look at everything, when you look at the data and the criteria that we use, it just, Harvard was the clear favorite. But, Army had a great year. And yes, there was definitely a conversation would be different if they had advanced.
And to that point, there is really no dispute that the objective criteria, the qualitative criteria favored Harvard. The only opportunity that Army would have had would have been through the regional advisory committee feedback. And you spoke this week to Patrick Stevens of USA Lacrosse and mentioned that you'd gone through a deep dive. How do you evaluate the RAC feedback on the Black Knights and the way in which it, potentially gave them an opportunity to be considered in a way that the qualitative data might not have suggested that they should have been?
Yeah, I think with the RAC, they're extremely helpful. We're very fortunate that they work with us very closely. We're getting a lot of insight from the coach's perspective. We use that as one of our data points. With those guys, we looked at it, and we just felt like when you did the overall body of work, when you're looking at all the points that we went through, again, we really, really went through the points. It wasn't a five-minute thing. This was, a long time that we went through everything. When teams won in the weekend, RPI adjusted, we looked at all of that. So, we took it as a data point, and we at the end, it was just everything kind of favored Harvard. So that's how that came down.
So let's transition to the top of the bracket, and Cornell, the number one seed, not a surprise in the sense that the first top 10 that the committee released a couple weeks ago on ESPN included the Big Red as the number one seed, and they didn't lose, and they won an Ivy League championship in the intervening amount of time. But how much consideration went into that, especially given how strong Maryland's resume was, especially before they lost the Big Ten championship game to Ohio State on Saturday night?
Yeah, we were looking at that very closely. Obviously, the way Princeton started off was extremely strong. And then, looking at them overall, they had six wins in the top 20. RPI's three. Obviously, they were 14-1. They had seven wins in the top 20. And, their worst loss was Penn State. And the data for Maryland was very impressive. But obviously, when you look at overall and taking everything into consideration, we felt like they were the number one, with Maryland being the number two.
Continuing on, I think the probably strongest surprise or reaction that I had to the field that was unveiled was the decision to send Notre Dame to Ohio State as the number four seed in the wake of the Buckeyes Big Ten championship. How do you describe that decision, especially because obviously from a geographic standpoint, it made perfect sense, but the notion of Notre Dame maybe having potentially been nominally the 9 seed, maybe the 10 seed, disrupted the bracket integrity a little bit.
Yeah, I think the hard part for us was obviously the geographic position. You know, we're ranking the 1 through 8 seeds, so that's our focus. And then obviously having the 3 ACC teams in there and the several Big Ten teams, it just made it a bit of a, you know, a challenge for us. So that's kind of how that ended up. It's just you had them and you had the Ivies, who kind of had 3 conferences altogether in those top 8. So, you know, that was the rationale behind that. As you know, again, we're looking more at that 1 through 8 seeds.
Did you look at the opportunity to send Notre Dame to Penn State?
I would say we looked at everything. Yeah, but again, you know, there's certain factors of why that happened.
In terms of geography, travel, because one of the things that's notable about this bracket is that it only includes one flight. And so given the past standard of 2 flights on a bracket or for the first round, it seems reasonable that at least it could have been a consideration to send Notre Dame to Penn State.
Yeah, we are. Obviously, we look at like minimum flights and that stuff, you know, when you're doing it. But I would just say in general, you know, we did go back and forth on different criteria, and the way it just ended up, that's how the seeds fell.
Continuing on, I think one of the other interesting considerations was Richmond, given the fact that, you know, their RPI was number 8 and they ended up being on the road at North Carolina, who ended up being the 8th seed. It's one of those situations where you could kind of, you know, parse it one way versus the other. Was that a conversation in terms of potentially sending the Tar Heels to Spidertown?
Yes, we definitely looked at that. You know, we had them, you know, across. Obviously, we're looking, and, you know, with that, you had 2 top 20 wins by Richmond. UNC had 5, you know, you had the RPIs were close, and then the strength of schedule favored UNC. So we did spend some time looking at those 2 teams back to back and where they were. But we ended up making the decision based on the information we had to pick UNC. And then obviously Richmond was on the road.
Very good. And then I think that, you know, as we kind of spin it forward and look ahead to the field that is going to unfold, how do you characterize the attitude towards just the combination of the play-in games, the first round games leading into the quarterfinals, and then ultimately into the championship weekend?
I think we're excited with the matchups. I think we have some exciting you know opening rounds, first rounds, and then the teams that advance to the different quarterfinal sites. I think, you know, there's going to be some great matchups, and you know, we're excited about how they kind of play out, and I think you can have some really exciting crowds and games, you know, in the coming weeks.
Excellent. Well, we really appreciate your time on the Inside the Cross podcast. Safe travels home, and we look forward to seeing you at some point at one of these NCAA tournament sites over the course of the next couple of weeks.
Yes, thank you very much. I appreciate it.
And the Inside the Cross podcast continues with Harvard head coach Jerry Byrne, whose Crimson are back in the NCAA tournament for the first time since 2022. Coach Byrne, congratulations. How do you describe what the mood was like with your team waiting to find out your fate?
I think all of us were flip-flopping between kind of rational and emotional. I think the rational part of your brain said, you know, we had a better top 10 win. We had more top 20 wins and a better schedule and higher RPI. So I think the rational side was, how could they not put us in? And then there's the emotional side, which is, you know, these decisions are made by men and women. And so, you know, who knows what goes on in the hearts of men and women. So, you know, I think the heart and the head were battling there, and we're glad that the statistics bore out the decision.
How do you describe the reaction when the team saw your name come up on TV screen?
You know, listen, I was talking, my wife Tracy was with us, and Clef, my dog, and you know, I know, like all the years at Notre Dame, I think 2010 was probably the only year we were really nervous, and the other times were like, we knew we were in but didn't know where. You know, these last 2 times have been pretty nerve-wracking. So it's like nervous energy, like legitimately sweating. Like it's, you know, the weather was very, very mild here this weekend, and I had a sweatshirt on, but I was sweating, like legitimately sweating, and I think the players were the same way. But we talk a lot about kind of stoicism and the mindset around that, and you know, you control what you can control, and you have to deal with the good and the bad. And so I think they kind of came in with that mindset, but I think they were obviously thrilled and relieved when we found out we were in.
Did Cliff the dog get scared at the volume of the reaction?
I, you know, Cliff was milling around with in the group getting pets and snacks that were on the ground. I'm sure he wigged out a little bit, but he was right in the middle of the masses. He might have gotten some airtime if it got caught by the TV.
So you find out you're getting an opportunity to take on a team that you beat earlier this year, and you and I spoke after that game, and it was a remarkable game in a lot of ways. But one of the ways is the Dome is a difficult place to play, and a lot of crazy things happen there. And now you have an opportunity to do it on an even bigger stage. How do you describe the opportunity?
You know, listen, I think you know it's not a secret that we're not the strongest face-off unit in the country, but we've proven that we've hung with really good teams who have really good face-off people, and we've won some of those games too. So I don't think we carry that kind of baggage. And I'm really honest and give hard truths delivered directly to our guys. So I think our face-off unit has gotten better. Matt Baracco didn't play in the first game, and I think he's our most experienced face-off guy, and he had some good battles with McMeekin on Friday night. So we've hung with some of the best teams in the country, including Syracuse, and being less than optimal at the face-off. Everyone wants to say, hey, you're one of the worst face-off teams in the country. But we do a lot of other things well. We cause turnovers, we ride very well, and we're very efficient on offense. And we're starting to play really good defense. I think in most of the last five or six games, four of them we've done really, really well. And so I think overcoming that, if we can do that well, if we can get a little bit closer to 45% at the face-off, I think we're a very good team. So familiarity doesn't breed contempt, and this, I have a lot of respect for Syracuse, and our guys are fired up to go and battle in the Dome again.
Opening up the aperture a little bit, particularly for this group who, obviously has been through a lot with you when it comes to the standpoint of when they committed in the context of COVID, then obviously making it to the NCAA tournament as freshmen, and now having an opportunity to get back there as seniors in this fourth year. How do you describe what it's been like to take this journey with them?
These are guys who, and I've talked about it before, who a lot of them were committed to other schools. They were attracted to, what Harvard was about as far as an intellectual and academic experience, and what the expectation for a Harvard grad is. They wanted that kind of intellectual challenge, and they wanted to create something that had never been before, which is, I think Harvard consistently in the NCAA tournament conversation and playing the best teams in the country all over the country. And so I think this group that I think we started seven or eight freshmen in that game in 2022 against Rutgers. And again, we stayed with them for a half, and then their depth and their experience, were too much for us. I think that group, having that perspective, having the disappointments of not winning games at the end of the year, because even last year, if we win any of our last three or four games, we're probably in the NCAA tournament. And, last year we didn't do that. This year we did it better than we had done in the past, be able to beat Yale and Penn this year for the first time in this class's 4 years. I think that kind of all these little things, getting to 10 wins, selling out games at Jordan Field, all the travel, playing Notre Dame in the fall in Chicago, and playing the Dutch national team in Barcelona. I think all of these experiences kind of bind them together, and those seniors now have the lessons and the perspective of 2022, and I think they're going to impart that during this week as they enter finals. We're going to have guys who have finals on Saturday, and some will have them on Sunday, and some definitely have them early on Monday morning, but we're not worried about that right now. We're fired up to have another week together.
And I think that kind of speaks to the last question that I have for you, which is, obviously you're coming at this, three quarters of this group doesn't have the experience of having played in the NCAA tournament. A quarter of it does. And you have tremendous experience in terms of what is unique about this, and the combination of 6 days from now, you're playing a team that you didn't know you were going to be playing on that day, and the weather is nicer, and you have all these non-lacrosse challenges and burdens that don't necessarily pop up over the preceding 15 weeks. These are all things that you have dealt with during your career. How do you try to impart that when, you know, for in most ways, it's the type of thing that you can't really know without doing.
You know, I think that, you know, I think our guys in particular, it's not like, I don't know, I was a pretty diligent student, but I wrote some of my best work at 11 o'clock at night when the paper was due at 8 a.m. the next day. I think our guys are pretty, you know, they stay on the program, and so they don't get to the end of the year and they're like, oh my God, what am I going to do about this class? So I don't think the academic and the test prep and the project and paper preparation kind of daunts them. I think the excitement about playing in the game affects that more. Like, they just want to get to practice. They want to get to the locker room. They want to spend more time together. They want to do all the things that, I don't know if you saw the celebration, they had we don't have a very fancy locker room. We have a little easel board that counts down the number of days that we had guaranteed together, or the number of days till our next opponent. You know, some schools might have like a electronic message board and things like that. We just have a little easel board. And that's what they hung up. They said, we've got 7 more days till we play, 7 days together with their, you know, with their best friends, and 7 days till we play Syracuse. So I think it's more kind of managing their energy and finding that balance between like a 75 minute and a 90 minute practice. You know, it could be some really hot days this week, and, you know, finding that balance between not doing too much. You know, you have our game against them and some of their recent games, and picking some other games where you're trying to, you know, pick out kind of who they are. And, you know, they got some new guys playing. I mean, Finn Thompson didn't play in our first game, and Anderson didn't play a lot in our first game. So they have some new personnel, and they do some different things defensively. But I think, you know, who they are, I don't think they're going to change their identity, just like we won't, you know. And but we played, you know, playing Cornell and Princeton, who are two of the top teams in the country, we had a great battle with Princeton, you know, 8-8 going into the fourth quarter, and, you know, they took advantage of some opportunities and we didn't. And so we know we can play with the top teams in the country. We proved it. And so I don't think we're going to be overwhelmed by the moment. And, you know, I think the, you know, just the leadership quality of our seniors, whether it's guys who, you know, have played in every game, or guys who are leading our scout team. We have our scout team guys are watching more film than some of our starters, because they want to really get the identity of their opponent down. They study how they dodge. They study how they play defense. They study how they clear. So that's been a secret weapon for us that I think is going to be really important this week as well.
Well, Jerry Byrne, it's 11-11 on Selection Sunday night, which means that you're in your prime zone. This is when you write the papers that get you that A, that get you the job later in life. So I'm going to let you go, because I know you got work to do.
I find some really good SAT words at about 12:30 at night. So I know you appreciate a good SAT word. But thank you, and appreciate the support, my friend. And you got a busy week ahead of you. So get some sleep as well.
And the Inside Lacrosse podcast continues with Colgate coach Matt Carwack, whose Raiders are heading back to the NCAA tournament on the back of a Patriot League championship win Sunday over Boston University at the U.S. Military Academy in West Point, New York. Coach Carwack, unbelievable game. One of the fastest, craziest up and down games that you'll watch all year. How do you describe the way that one unfolded?
I'll tell you what, Terry. Thanks for having me, man. Our guys played with so much poise in the day, honestly. You know, as much as we, you know, get up and down and do whatnot, our offense in particular and our rope unit guys did a great job taking care of the ball in the clear, did a great job picking our spots offensively. And I was really impressed with the poise that our guys had today.
How do you describe the way that they reacted from the standpoint of the tournament in total? Quarterfinals, semifinals, yeah, just the whole week in total.
I tell you, man, well, listen, it's hard to go. I think we're the only 5 seed to ever do it, you know, because you have to play in that playing game and you have to, you know, you don't get a bye or whatever. So Tuesday, Friday, I mean, we played Friday, Tuesday, Friday, Sunday, you know, so we played, you know, 4 games in 10 days. So our guys are exhausted, but I tell you what, they just, you know, we were ready for it. We were excited about it. Our guys have trained that way all year long. And so the fact that they, you know, came out and executed, I wasn't surprised. I was happy that we got a chance to rest in between those days, and we did a good job doing that. So, you know, and we came out on top.
obviously, it's fair to describe last year as a breakout season. You guys were massively improved, and then you continued the momentum this year, and now you get the reward. How do you describe how gratifying it is, especially in the context of, you know, if it had been, I don't want to call it like a one-year wonder, but if you had had that gratification in the first year, it might not necessarily mean as much as understanding how special it is because you had a good season last year, but you didn't get the ultimate vindication of going to the NCAA tournament.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, listen, last year I got so much appreciation for my staff. You know, our guys have done such a good job, certainly, you know, our players and whatnot. Our staff has worked their tail off, so I want to give them a massive amount of credit. But, you know, for us, you know, it's funny, you don't really think about it as like a breakout year in the next year because every year is so different. You know, it really is. Even though we had a lot of guys come back, we felt like this was, you know, not a continuation of the last year or to, you know, what we wanted to do is say, no, this team is going to be different. We're going to do things a little bit differently. We trained a little bit differently. You know, we did a lot of those kind of things that set us, I think, you know, for this kind of run. So super excited about and our guys and our ability to kind of take that momentum going forward, like you said. But for us, it's just about, you know, this team in and of itself. I think the momentum of the season is probably more interesting than the momentum of between 2 years.
Well, with that being said, you're taking on a Penn State team that you're familiar with over having played them the last 2 years. You beat them last year, fell 14-9 in the season opener this year, and that's your first round opponent for this NCAA tournament. How do you describe getting ready for Jeff Tamburoni's squad?
Yeah, listen, Coach Tamburoni is one of my favorite coaches of all time. He, you know, he recruited me back in the day. He's been a mentor for me for a long time. So it's an honor to coach against him every year. Now to see him in the NCAA tournament, it's you know, I'm blessed to kind of be on the opposite sideline. And I tell them that every year, you know, when we play. And so, but yeah, we are familiar. We're familiar with who they are and what their MO is. And, you know, they're very good. They're very talented. They're very disciplined. They do a lot of those things. They got a lot of great players, obviously. So, yeah, we're excited about it. We didn't show our best at the beginning of the year. And so, you know, we're really, you know, playing our best lacrosse right now, which is when you want to play your best lacrosse. So we're really excited about kind of, you know, showing ourselves, you know, true down there.
For folks who may have caught a game or two but haven't necessarily seen your squad recently, what should they be ready for?
You know, we attack. You know, that's the best way you could think about it. We attack everything. We attack every area of the game. You know, it's something that I told my staff when I hired them. I said, listen, I want to be able to, you know, go after people and attack people and do the things that, you know, in the past, I think more of a conservative mindset or feel sounded good theoretically, but it just didn't make a lot of noise. And when you play against great teams and you're on your heels or you're kind of just waiting for the game to come to you, you typically don't become the victor at the end. And so once we changed that mentality, you know, we started to attack all these different scenarios. What you get is other teams are on their heels and now they have to keep up with you. And so, you know, one of the things that we proved this past weekend and this past week actually is, can we play all the games that we need to play? Is the pace, does that allow us to play fast? Does it allow us to play slow? What is the game, you know, going to give us? And that's the thing that I think our team has really done a good job of. But to answer your question, you look for us to attack every situation you can see.
Perfect. Well, Matt Carwick, we really appreciate your time on the Inside the Cross podcast. Congratulations again on the Patriot League Championship. Good luck going forward, and we can't wait to watch the Raiders take on the Nittany Lions this weekend.
Thanks, Terry. I appreciate it.
And the Inside the Cross podcast continues with Siena head coach Liam Gleason, whose Saints are MAC champions and heading to the NCAA tournament for the first time in, I believe, 11 seasons, and they are set to take on the University of Albany in the playing game on Wednesday. Coach Gleason, congratulations. How do you describe the feeling when you saw Siena come up on the screen on the selection show?
Oh, it was amazing. It was really a special moment. More just seeing the guys' reaction. You know, it just kind of justifies all that hard work, and you know, gives you another opportunity to celebrate. You know, being a MAC championship and earning that AQ.
It was an incredible MAC tournament. How do you reflect on how it unfolded and what it means for your program to be able to knock off a team like Sacred Heart in the championship game?
It means a lot. You know, this is a program that we, you know, we feel like we've been knocking on the door the last few years. This senior class has been fortunate enough to go to the playoffs 4 years in a row now, and finally punch their ticket. It's one thing to, you know, to make the playoffs. It's one thing to make to win a playoff game, but to win that championship is certainly a big challenge, and something that, you know, we've been striving to do for a long time, and just really proud of our guys' efforts. And you know, so happy that they're able to you know, hoist that trophy and be a MAC champion.
You say it's one thing to win a playoff game, but that's selling short what your epic 15-14 win over Marist was like. Take us back to Thursday night and how special that moment was.
Yeah, you know, it's always a great game when Siena plays Marist. Earlier, you know, a week before, we came out in a dominant win, and I knew that going into the playoffs, it wasn't just going to be something like that. We knew it was going to be a hard fought game against a very talented team that's very well coached, and that's exactly what we got. I mean, it was a nail biter. Goes down to the last second with Andrew Curry making a save with 1 second on the clock, and you know, that sealed it for us. But it was a very special moment, and one that you know, really gave us a lot of confidence and you know, momentum moving into that championship game.
All right, let's spin it forward. This is a Great Dane program with which you are very familiar. What's it like to be playing not only this team but also Coach Scott Marr in a setting like this?
Yeah, you know, I think this will probably be a better answer after the game. But, you know, going into the game, you know, I'm excited. We're excited, one, to be competing in the NCAA tournament, but two, to be, you know, going against, you know, kind of a crosstown rival. We didn't compete this year. Generally, every year we compete in some kind of way, whether it's a scrimmage or a game. And this year, with some of the scheduling conflicts we had, we just couldn't make it work. So to get this game on, you know, on a schedule now in the NCAA tournament, it's going to be really special, not just for both teams, Albany and Siena, but for the Capital District. I mean, I think this game is going to be really exciting. I expect Casey Stadium over at Albany to be packed, and it's going to be a special moment. You know, for me and you know, two of my three assistant coaches, we're Albany alumni. You know, so there's definitely some something there for us to kind of go back to Albany and get a chance to compete against our alma mater. But for us, we're going to keep our mantra of it's just the next opponent and go out there and try to win another game.
On the one hand, it's a blessing that it's so close from the standpoint of it'll be your third game in 7 days. But on the other hand, it's your third game in 7 days. How do you manage the physical and emotional taxing nature of such a quick turnaround?
Yeah, that's, you know, that's the name of the game, right? It's who can recover, who can prepare in a short turnaround. And, you know, our guys and obviously Albany just had to do the same thing. When you got to win two games in 3 days, that's in itself, it's a challenge. But I guess, you know, if you're looking at it, it prepares us a little bit for this moment right now. So, you know, we had a nice day off today. Guys got treatment. You know, we're gonna get back to work tomorrow with film and getting out there on the field and competing. But, you know, it's definitely this time of year, it's who could prepare the best in the time period you have.
So just to take one more step back, how do you reflect on what this means for your personal growth and development? You know, when you consider all the goals that you set for this program when you took over and how this represents, you know, having met and in some cases maybe even exceeded some of those goals.
Yeah, you know, I started my career at Siena, and I was fortunate enough to win the first ever MAC championship as an assistant coach here in 2009. So for me, when I came back as the head coach in the fall of 2018, that was always my goal, to bring Siena back to, you know, playoff contender every year, and a team that, you know, is feared and looked at as a MAC championship contender every year. And it's taken some time, and it's a lot of hard work to build the culture to the place we are now. But right now, I think we're showing that all this hard work, all this time we've put in, the efforts we've put in, my coaching staff, my administration, our alumni, you know, it's starting, we're starting to see it, you know, all come into fruition here. And just, you know, really proud of all the guys that have come before, these guys that are playing on Wednesday, that have really helped us take those next steps over the last few years. You know, this is kind of for them now too. They get the opportunity to see Siena College competing in the NCAA tournament.
Liam Gleason, really appreciate your time on the Inside Lacrosse podcast. Congratulations again to the Saints on their MAC championship. Best of luck as you recover and prepare for the Great Danes. And we look forward to watching you guys take the field on Wednesday.
Thanks a lot, Terry.
Inside Lacrosse Podcasts, the source of the sport.